chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm excited to have Dr. Beverly Kay on the show today. Dr. Kay is a thought leader, speaker, and author whose work and research in the career development, engagement, and retention fields have been widely recognized for helping others discover greater meaning in their work and gain greater control over their career destinies. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. Dr. Kay, I am so delighted that we could make this work and that you're making time to be on the Something Extra podcast.
Thank you. You know, actually, it really is nice to be here.
Yes, I know. And we've had multiple conversations and I said, I could just spend hours and hours with you. But, you know, I want our listeners just to know a little bit, though. I mean, how special it is to have Dr. Kay on our show today. Her name is recognized internationally as a professional that's dedicated to helping individuals, managers, and organizations understand the practical how-to principles of employee development, engagement, and retention. She has written and authored many books. Love 'em or Lose 'em is a book that is a Wall Street Journal bestseller. We're just really delighted to have her. And I just know, Dr. Kay, we're going to get into a lot of different things. We are in technology. And I just know, like, today, the competition for our technology talent is unprecedented. I think what we're going to be talking about today is incredibly important, incredibly relevant. And I think that our listeners are going to really benefit from your wisdom and your knowledge and your experience. Before we really get into those details, I want you to just tell us a little bit about how you grew up.
I live in LA now, but I'm proud to say I am a Jersey girl through and through. So if you hear the twang in my voice, you'll know. I grew up in Passaic, New Jersey, and never dreamed as a kid I would be doing what I'm doing now. In my day, a woman could be a secretary, a nurse, or a teacher, and none of those appealed to me. You know, by a fluke, I'll tell you, my first career was as a college dean. Oh. I got a master's degree in college administration. So I was like a dean of students at schools I never could have gotten into. Really good schools, East Coast, West Coast. And I think my interest in career started when I thought students seem to feel if I'm an A student and I go to an A school, there'll be an A line I stand in for an A life. And many of them found that just didn't work that way. And having a contingency plan, I think, stuck in my head as I moved into this whole new world.
So how long did you do that?
I did it for about 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
And during that time, I got interested in leadership, how student leaders led, and that led me into leadership in general. and into pursuing everything I could pursue.
So, you know, an A-list goal does not lead to an A life.
Right, right, right.
Let's get into this. So you did go to UCLA for your doctorate.
I did.
And your thesis was really around how companies grow their people and how people then grow themselves.
And at the time I did that was in the 70s. And nobody was looking at careers in the context of the organizational maze.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then, and unfortunately now, we still think of the career ladder and climbing it. So a piece of the doctoral work was on, is up the really the only way? And that caught on, that title caught on. So to this day, I still preach, we all have to think of multiple ways to move. And for a technology audience and tech people, I think maybe they know deep down that there are many more choices than up. But isn't it a shame that we reward still for up?
Right.
And that has to change too.
Absolutely. Well, and we can talk about that a little bit. I mean, you actually went on to write a book that is titled Up Is Not the Only Way, Rethinking Career Mobility. You talk about thinking of career mobility as a kaleidoscope. What do you mean by that, Dr. K?
It's not a telescope where you set your eyes on one thing, like those A students. It's a kaleidoscope where if you change the frame slightly, you have a whole new pattern. And I think my deepest belief is that you don't have to leave your job to grow. If you think of changing the kaleidoscope slightly, you could have many, many, many opportunities right where you are. And you have to pursue them as an individual. And yes, your manager has to kind of initiate those conversations, and your organization has to build the support structure that says, yes, there are other ways to grow. So I think those three interlocking circles, that Venn diagram, is critical.
Right. So you had said to me earlier, you said the employee has to take ownership.
Right.
Of their career plan. You know, you cannot wait on your manager necessarily. So what are some practical things that someone could do? Bev, say that they are feeling burnout in their current role. What are some practical things that they could do?
I really believe in maybe using colleagues to help you think, what can I do? In a lot of my work, and I once ran a sizable global organization that delivered this around the world. And I really believed in employees forming, now we call them pods. We've learned that in COVID. But your peers can help you, and they will help you think differently. So I'd say, number one, get yourself three or four pals to talk about your career choices. I have a group that I've done that with for decades, and I go to when I'm in another stuck place, because we always get stuck. And sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees in our own stuckness. To answer your question in a to-do, I think one way to grow in place is to ask yourself, what do I need to learn? What do I need to get better at that would grow me in what I'm doing now and prep me for other things down the road? So learning is one solution to job enrichment.
Right. Your comments really remind me. I've had so many leaders on the podcast, Dr. K, that will say there's a project that nobody else wanted. And they raise their hand and say, I'll give it a go. And it's, you know, getting out of your comfort zone a little bit, stretching. But don't put all the onus on your boss.
Right.
You need to actually speak up. But there's something that you said here. Every organization uses something called an IDP, you know, an individual development plan. But you think a more appropriate description is an igniting development potential.
Right. I mean, imagine you're being invited in to chat with your boss on an individual development plan, or you're being invited in to talk about igniting your development potential. And I think maybe that's the essence of that IDP that so many organizations use. And once my ability to grow looks thwarted, I'm going to look elsewhere. And in the technology industry, especially in IT, boy, oh boy, do IT people have choices. And now that you can work from anywhere, those choices have quadrupled and people are moving and job hopping is back in. I've seen the word tsunami. There's going to be a tsunami of people leaving for what looks like greener pasture. And what I want your listeners to know that the greener pasture is often astroturf. So be careful and look clearly at what you're leaving behind and what you have to build again in that new organization.
Right. You reminded me, I'm on page 9 of Love 'Em or Lose 'Em. There's reasons why people stay. Mm-hmm. You know, and one is that they are growing, that they are learning. You know, that's major. A big one. These are stay interview questions. And I love this. So Bayer, Monsanto, I went through a mentoring program with them several years ago, Dr. K, and they talked about stay interviews. And that is the first time I had heard that term. And I was thinking, when I read your book, I'm thinking, I wonder if they studied Dr. K's material. But, you know, it's really important for managers to conduct these stay interviews and say, what is it that will make you stay here? You know, here's a couple. What one change in your current role would make you consider staying in this job?
Right.
If you had a magic wand, what would be the one thing you would change about the organization? What could I do a little more of or a little less of?
Right. And aren't they simple questions? And the punchline is, when do we say, what can I do to keep you? We say it at the exit interview. And then usually that's too late. So the question, you're important to my team. I hope I've made that clear. I don't want to lose you. Tell me what is most important, what you want more of. And when we teach this, and we do teach it in the seminars we do, and we're doing special ones now for IT people. The issue is managers are afraid if I ask that question and someone says, well, more money or that move, and I can't give it, aren't I sorry I ever asked the question? And I said, no, you move to truth, tell it. You know, the book is organized, as you know, according to the alphabet, and T is for truth. And you say, look, I can't deliver on that now, but boy, I don't want to lose you. Tell me what else matters. I promise your audience, if you ask the what else question like 3 times, you will get something that you never thought of that in fact that person wants. And so we did coin the word stay interview and we wrote a whole book on it. But sadly, we never trademarked it.
Oh, my goodness.
So others jumped on it.
Well, you get the credit for it, though, Dr. K.
Good.
I want to go back because I did skip over. You did have your own company. You're an entrepreneur. You founded Career Systems International in 1996. So this is the work that you guys did for a very long time. You know, we'll talk about succession plan. So you identified a few people to take that over.
I did. My employees, one was our global head of sales, and the other was our global head of all of our associates. And I will say to any of your listeners, even though it was my intention to do that, I went into a year-long funk because my entity was my identity and I couldn't pull them apart. And eventually I got really comfortable with going back to the old days of being a solopreneur.
Right.
But change isn't easy.
That's right. No, I remember reading that you had said that. And boy, we could do a whole podcast on that.
We could.
The entity as your identity, because that is not your identity. So we do need to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Dr. K.
Are you a rising IT leader? Could you benefit from a network of like-minded peers? Let me introduce you to the St. Louis Technology Leadership Experience. This one-of-a-kind program gathers cohorts of IT professionals for three workshops: peer small group problem solving, one-on-one mentoring by IT executives, and multiple networking events. You'll be prepared for your next steps as an IT leader by gaining core leadership competencies and a strong, powerful network of peers. To apply for our next TechLX cohort, visit tpi.co/TLX.
So welcome back to the Something Extra podcast. So excited to continue this conversation. And Bev, there is no way that we're going to get through everything we want to talk about. But I'm going to try. So, you know, we've been talking about stay interviews. We've been talking about retaining your people, you know, how important that is today, keeping them engaged. You know, engaged employees, the research shows, you're going to have a lot more innovation in your organization. You're going to exceed your goals when you've got an engaged workforce. Job fulfillment increases, productivity goes up, the bottom line improves, performance gains drives market share. I mean, there's all kinds of benefits to having an engaged workforce. So if that is true, then we should spend some time here, don't you think?
I think so. And it's not a lot. It's like in the flow of work, you know, what are the opportunities in front of your eyes that tell you something about your employee? And I don't think we stop to watch those and nail them and say, you really did light up on that project. So I think that's great. It's not hard.
It's not hard, but we have to focus. I mean, you get what you focus on. And so if you are not attuned, like you said, if you're not listening, if you're not observant to those things, you're going to miss it. Everybody that listens to this podcast needs to buy Love Them or Lose Them. And Bev does not give me any kind of commission on this. I am telling you, this book is so amazing. The way she's organized it, it is really the A to Z. So we've already talked about Ask Why You Stay. But you know, some people might be kind of surprised, Bev. You polled 18,000 people and came up with 13 of the reasons that people stay. And I'll just mention a few of these. Number one is exciting, challenging, meaningful work. People want to know that what they're doing is important and meaningful, right?
Right.
And number two is supportive management. You can come in all passionate, but if you don't have a supportive upline, it's going to be hard to do that. Being recognized and valued is number three. People might be surprised at this. Do you know fair pay compensation is number six?
And it should not be a surprise. Fair pay was never number one, but the desire for why it's six will go all the way up if I'm not getting those other things. So if I don't have a boss who seems to care, if I'm not in work that I'm passionate about, then I want that pay. But it isn't. And I know that now, with COVID being hopefully behind us, job hopping, job change, job offers, especially in your industry, are like happening all over. And every IT person will have a choice to stay or to go.
Right.
And I would say, think hard about why you stay and think hard about, will going really make that difference other than the pay?
The B is the buck stops here.
Right. You know, managers who are listening, it doesn't stop with you on every single solitary thing, but it does stop with you on many of those. And, you know, here's an idea for your listeners. If you get the book, or I'll bet you the table of contents must be online. Take that A to Z, show the list to your employee one-on-one and say, just from these words alone, which one do you wish I did more of around you? And let them pick. Maybe it's the safer career and they want to talk more about career choices. You know, maybe it's the F for family and they're having trouble now balancing it all.
Balancing everything, right.
So let them tell you, because this is very individual. And, you know, the difference in Love 'Em Six, because it's been out for 20 years, is that our publisher said, show me in every chapter how engagement and inclusion are connected. And at first we scratched our heads and said, well, every chapter. And when we got into it, we realized to engage, you have to include. And if you feel included, you have to probably be engaged.
Right.
So many organizations have big DEI initiatives. This is another way to go after that goal for your organization.
Well, I love this one. K is for kicks. Get some kicks. And this question, you said, ponder this. How often do your people smile?
Yeah.
What a great barometer.
Right.
Right? I mean, Bev, if they come in with their sad faces and listlessness in their eyes, I mean, it's like, okay, what's going on here? Let's put some fun in it.
And let's take advantage of those times we come together as a team. And now maybe as we come together more in person, we can have that smile factor. Loom large.
Great little litmus test there for you.
It is.
L is creating connections. You know, and you say, is the organization easy to leave? It's easy to leave when you feel no connection.
Right.
Or you don't have a group of colleagues who offer support. You don't have relationships. You don't look forward to seeing the people.
Right. No, true. It is a major stay factor that I love the work with my colleagues. They challenge me. They teach me. They're sharp. They're there for me. When I have one of those, I give up days, which everybody has. You know, it's interesting. We had to figure out how to teach this. And you can't teach 26 ideas. But we found that they grouped into three areas. One was growth. That six or seven of those chapters fit into growth and development. The second was relationships. Six or seven fit right into my relationship with my leader. And then several fit under the culture banner. What's the atmosphere like? What's the vibe like? Even when you're remote, there's a vibe that is your culture. That doesn't have to be necessarily face-to-face.
Yes, and I'd love for you to speak into that if you could. I'm sure you've talked to a lot of organizations that are like, how do we continue to have that same culture virtually that we have when we're together? But I mean, I'm sure you've got some thoughts around that.
You know, I know that I have been on Zoom like 8 hours straight.
Yes.
And my own learning, the O in the book stands for opportunity. And I think people are either opportunity blinded or opportunity minded. And I have gotten much more opportunity minded on Zoom, especially when there's a group that I'm interacting with, a group that I'm talking to, that in that group are some people I don't know. And I think, oh, that's a good connection for me. And somebody says one sentence that makes me want to follow up. And there's something different about maybe I can make a note while I'm on Zoom that I couldn't have face to face.
Yeah, I love that. So opportunity minded versus opportunity blinded. No matter what the situation is, let's be opportunity minded.
Right. And managers need to be more opportunity minded for their teams. Like the more you think there's no opportunity for her other than, say, up, it will color. So widen I also say people are either opportunity whiners. they changed the structure again as a new guy, or opportunity miners. Great. The structure changed. There's a new leader. I'm going to Google him and I'm going to check out.
Yeah, it's an opportunity to learn, to grow, to right. get a different perspective possibly on things. No, right. That is so good. I love it. Just that little play on words. And those are things I think, Bev, that when you coin them that way, they will stick with people. So I appreciate you bringing those up. So the P, and I love this, you know, you say passion, encourage it. When did you hear your people say the last time, I love my job? And you said something earlier, Bev, and I want to put this myth to rest. I don't care if you're the most passionate person in the world. We can't be that every day. We all go through periods, do we not? You know, so I just want to put that myth to rest. It's not like you come in every day ready to tackle the world. But for the most part, do you love what you do?
Right. And I would say, managers, ask what part, what task, what thing do you love the most? You know, I asked my team here in the office the other day, what task makes you groan? When I say we need this, A, they smiled and they told me. Some of them we could exchange because I have a small team. But have you ever said, what assignment do I give you that you say, oh, and not that I can remove them easily, but at least I know.
And you're aware. Well, I'm just going to go over one more and then we're going to talk about something extra because I know we're running up on our time here, but I have to know, what is the Z? Because there's not that many Z's, but talk about the Z.
That's a great question. No one asked that. So we were stuck. What could a Z be? And then in one of our interviews, a manager mentioned that their organization held zenith meetings. And we said, what is that? And he said, well, when we had a problem that couldn't be solved, we bring in everybody and we kind of brainstorm it. And that's our zenith meeting. And I said, that's our Z. When we translated it, it means, alas, this is not one and done. I've done my engagement work, close the door. No, it really is continuous.
Absolutely. Well, Bev, you and I have talked about this offline, but you know, I want our listeners to understand, we had talked about love and how we don't really use love a lot in business or loving your people. But you know, the things that you would, the love them or lose them, L-E-L-E, acronym, these can apply to other situations.
Right.
You can ask your husband or your significant other these questions. What was the best vacation, you know, that we've ever taken together? What's the nicest thing I've ever done for you? Because if they tell you that, then guess what? You know, if you want to strengthen that connection, you're going to do more of that, right?
Right.
Whatever they tell you. Or your children, you know, what can we do together that we all love?
Exactly. Like, bring the questions to the dinner table and see where they go. I put an article out like that around Valentine's Day. And we used the word 20 years ago, when it really wasn't as out there. Now I find I get very little pushback, and I welcome companies we work with to call it engage your people if love is not comfortable.
Right.
And on the back of the book, it says, admit it, you love them, even if you don't use that word. They are your talent.
They are everything. And they are the most incredible thing in our world. And so that connection point. But Bev, I have to ask you, what do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs?
You know, I would say if leaders just noticed what was in front of their eyes and said something about what they see. In somewhere, I wrote about three steps. You recognize, if you just recognize, your eyes light up whenever you do that. And then if you verbalize, I mean, say it, instead of thinking, look, her eyes lit up, say it. So recognize, verbalize, and mobilize. Gee, you do love the graphic part of that assignment. Let's talk about it. We can use that skill more.
Right.
Just notice what's in front of you. of your eyes and speak about it.
Yeah. You know what? It reminds me, I was on a call earlier this week with some CEOs, and one just spoke words into another CEO in this meeting, a younger CEO, about the change and the growth that he had seen in the CEO from the time that he first met him.
Wow.
And you could just tell this younger man, I mean, like you said, his eyes lit up. I'm like, wow, what a way to use words to recognize, to speak it into another individual. And I say all the time, our words matter. So you've reminded me, I'm going to reach out to that older CEO or more experienced CEO, I guess you might say, and just thank him for doing that.
Right. And tell him to keep doing it.
Keep doing it. Absolutely. Well, Bev, I want to give you the opportunity to pitch anything that you wanted to talk about. I mean, you and I kind of have something kind of exciting going on, and you can tell our listeners about it.
So I have a colleague who specializes in IT leadership. And we were talking about this tsunami of people leaving and job hopping. And we took my work and we applied it totally to the IT person. And now we are offering workshops, offering on Zoom, offering it in person, about how do you engage specifically IT people.
Right.
And so that is coming up.
I'm so excited. We have a taste test. We're partnering with O&A, with Dan Roberts, Willett & Associates, and we have a taste test coming up on the 28th, where we're kind of previewing the workshop to people, and then we'll be launching soon the full workshop based upon your work. So I just cannot thank you enough, Dr. K. Thank you so much for the impact that you are making in people's lives. I know you've made one on mine, and I can't wait to just spend more time with you. But thank you for spending time with us today in the podcast.
Thank you for being such a diligent interviewer.
Very good.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.